I love it. He is now residing in Dallas, Texas. So he's a little further from us than he has been from St. Louis, but they're just in the process of buying a house down there and getting settled, and I just enjoy his ministry. He's going to be the camp speaker this year, and that's exciting. He's going to be with us on the 6th of June and then the Sunday before camp as well, and so we're excited about that as well. And he always blesses us with great teaching, preaching, amen. And his name is Jim, and he is a worshiper. So would you welcome Brother Littles.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Kind of feel like it's family reunion here tonight. Feasting on this wonderful time of worship together. But what a rich move of the presence of an almighty God. That's what happens when we respond to his invitation. Don't know how God's going to do things, but we know he will be there when we respond to him in such a way. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 10. I want to thank Pastor Schumacher again for the privilege of being here with all of you. And so many of you were greeted me before church and were so kind in your comments. Sherry's not able to be with me on this trip since she's getting some of the things together for moving out of a camper where we've been for 3.5 months and into a house. So as you ladies can imagine, she's excited about that. And as you men can imagine, I'm excited about her being excited. Amen. Amen. I truly enjoy Easter time, the season leading up to Easter, thinking about the power of the cross. Without the cross, we are nothing. Not only can we not do anything, but we are nothing without the power of the cross. So I know that since Palm Sunday, you've been thinking in that direction. I encourage you to do so, looking forward to resurrection morning when we celebrate his resurrection. But tonight we're going to talk about the power of the cross, the work of the cross in repairing the wounds, how the cross repairs the wounds. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 and following, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto... We are created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That is those good works. Wherefore, remember that you were being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. You were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time you were Christless. You were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, hopeless, godless in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross having slain the enmity, thereby came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers, you're no more foreigners, but you're now fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, built upon the firm on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together, habitation of God through the Spirit. Lord, we are so overwhelmed by your word. Your word calls us, it warms us, it convicts us, it purifies us. It's by the washing of the water of your word, Lord, that we are made right in your presence. Your word is already anointed. We pray even now that our ears be equally anointed, that our spirit be equally open, O Lord, that our mind be open to be transformed anew and anew, renewed in your word, the power of your spirit. Let the power of the cross also, O Lord, be on us, your people, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, O Lord. We give you glory in these things, O Lord. It's all according to your good pleasure, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. If you love Jesus, you may be seated. All right, I guess I don't have to change my sermon then. There were several of you standing. I was going to do a quick change here. There, he's going to his chair too. There. Every once in a while, we have those experiences which something good is to happen to you by chance, or sometimes I've even felt a little bad because of good things that have come my way. Perhaps that happened to you somewhere along the line. My first permanent teaching contract came in teaching 5th and 6th grade English back in Panama, New York, way back in the last millennium. Yeah. There were other teachers who had been looking through the substituting system to find a job at that small school district where I work. Some of them had been substituting 5 and 6 years trying to get a job. But due to some circumstances, I had 6 weeks seniority from the previous year. A teacher started calling in sick in the middle of October. She called in sick all the way through April, burning up all of her sick days that had been stored up for over 20 years of teaching. And when her sick days were burned up, she couldn't call in sick anymore, but she also didn't want to go to teach anymore. So they gave me a 6-week contract, finishing out the school year. Well, the next year they had an opening, and I had 6 whole weeks seniority over people who had been substituting in that school district for 5 or 6 years. Back when I was still in high school, they were trying to get a job there. Seemed unfair, but I took the job anyway. Instead of counting it as unfairness, I just counted it as God opening a door for me to do ministry in that school system and to provide for our family. When we think about Easter, when we think about the cross, I have to say this just isn't fair. As a matter of fact, it's the most unfair, most immoral thing humanity has ever seen, that one person would choose to die for all of us. That is just unfair, that he took upon himself the sin and the shame of us all. Amen. And it's only because of the glory that was set before him that he endured this cross. And Scripture tells us he even despised the shame. In other words, he shamed shame. He shamed shame. He put shame to death in the cross. So when we think about the cross this Easter season, its brutality, its immorality, based on that innocent one, we're receiving our transgressions, our fault, our failure, our separation from God. He carried all of that at one time. In one moment, all the billions of the people in the world, half of them that don't even know his name, he has already carried their shame, just waiting for them to call on his name. So this Easter, as we think about the wounds he received, we can realize it's through his wounds that our wounds are healed. We frequently talk about by his stripes we are healed, to think of our physical healing and see some hands, some folks who have been recipients of a healing touch of an almighty God. I'm so thankful today he still heals. He heals minds. He heals bodies. Heals so many different things. And we think about his wounds healing our physical being. But Good Friday and then leading up to Easter is a reminder of the opportunity of the status change that we have, that absolutely all of our wounds can be healed. So on this Wednesday night, leading up to tomorrow, Maundy, Thursday, and then Good Friday, and then bleak Saturday, and then Resurrection Sunday, I want to think us to think about the cross as a diagnostic tool. I want the cross to focus in on all of us individually, focus on us as families, in our families, in our various relationships, and focus on us as a community of God, God's people, the church. How does the cross give us opportunities to give him glory and thanksgiving for the healing that he has done? But I pray that this Easter, the cross diagnoses some things he still wants to do. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the work of Calvary is not yet finished. His work is finished, but its completion in us is not yet finished. Amen. And we know that that will continue until, as we see in 1 John chapter 3, we don't know what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So on that day, the work of the cross will have had its perfected or completed work. But as of tonight, the blood of Calvary still flows. The bishop wrote it so many years ago, I see a crimson stream of blood, and it still flows from Calvary. I have to testify that the verse where he says, when the enemy comes and says you've sinned, no use to pray, the bishop penned the words. He says, instead, I look to Calvary again and say, I see a crimson stream of blood. I stand here tonight to let you know that he can recall us, can reclaim us, can restore us. He does not throw people away. He's in the reclaiming business. He's in the healing business. He's in the restoring business. Now, there are some cultures where it's polite to point out people's failures. That's not America. Okay, if I walk out of the restroom at the airport and there's toilet paper on my shoe, somebody will let me walk like that all the way from terminal A, B, and C because it's impolite to point it out. Oh, they'll snicker. They'll laugh, but it's impolite to point it out. French culture, on the other hand, if they see that you're doing something that's improperly done or not caring for your children properly or their coat's not buttoned up and it's raining out, it's the only right thing to do is to go and say, you know, you could do that a little better, I think. In our culture, that could get you shot. How dare you judge me? How dare you look at me and tell me I'm not doing something properly? But this Easter season, I want the cross to point a light on me, on my family. I want the cross to point a light on you and your family, and the cross to point a light on the congregation. Oh, Lord, what are some healing works that you want to do in your body here, even tonight? A work of restoration because of the power of the blood of Calvary. But brothers and sisters, sometimes before he heals, he has to expose. Now, in my nature, I want him to heal without exposing. I want him to fix without revealing. It's not the way he works. Remember the lady one day who fought through the crowd to get to Jesus? Other people had jostled him. Other people had bumped him. And other people had spilt their cappuccino on him in the crowd in the marketplace that day. But one lady had come to him with purpose. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, this disease I have had for over a decade, this disease that has milked me economically dry, and this disease which has bled off all of my energy, if I could just touch Jesus, in a moment is going to be all right. But you see, when you touch Jesus, he doesn't just heal you, he reveals some things. Who touched me? And the crowd says, what do you mean who's touched you? Everybody's clamoring for you and pulling on your sleeve like a 2-year-old tugging on mama's skirt tail all day long. Who touched me? I've been touched all day. Jesus said, no, there was somebody got a hold of me today, and they came with a purpose of getting a hold of me. And they were not going home until they got a hold of me. It didn't matter what taboos they had to overcome. It didn't matter how they had to forge their way through the crowd. Someone touched me. And Jesus told the woman to come from behind, to come out in front. The amazing thing of that story to me is that Jesus outed her. We want to ask unspoken requests, and Jesus wants to make them known. We want to hide behind the anonymity of the shadow of the cross. He, on the other hand, wants the spotlight of the cross to shine deeply on us. You see, we feel that if in the shadow of the cross we could receive healing and anonymity, in the shadow of the cross we could be healed and not exposed, how more powerful that would be. But Jesus doesn't work that way. When he wants to touch somebody, he usually calls them forward. He usually asks them, what do you want? That's amazing to me. There's a blind man begging by the street. The blind man says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what does Jesus say? What do you want? I'd like to see. Tonight the cross is here. I'm encouraging myself and all of you as well to get out from the shadow of the cross, to get out in the light of the cross and let it expose some things that he wants to heal the wounds this Easter season. You see, this old status of which we still wrestle from time to time is our various forms of dismemberments. Dismemberments, the severing of a limb these days, if they catch it fast enough, sometimes they can reattach it. And I've seen pictures of folks who have had a toe taken off, perhaps, and put in the place of a thumb that had been lost in an accident. But the horror of being dismembered, a limb lost perhaps in a farming accident or in some kind of explosion that had happened, is bad enough. But to be dismembered from God's wondrous purposes in your life is even more tragic, is even more disfiguring. When I was a child and I would see someone walking with a peg leg, you know what my mama said? Don't stare. Can't help it, Mom. I don't see people with peg legs very often. How do you walk like that? My mind's going through the physics of it, even though I don't understand physics. It's wondering, how do you walk with a peg leg? A lady in our church, as I was growing up, 4 years old, she had a wooden leg. Just amazing. She could tap on it. And I could hear her knocking on her leg, like me knocking on a door. And later out found the story of how she lost her leg playing with a Civil War pistol back when she was a child. And the pistol had been played with decades and had been loaded, but some reason that day it went off and it wounded her leg. The disfigurements that come from natural disasters, we will have prostheses put on. We will have ways to perhaps restore hearing if at all possible. We want to find ways now even to take light sources and put lenses and then put electrodes to the back of our brain to perhaps give us sight again. But the power of the cross goes far beyond your physical restoration. The power of the cross goes to everything that has ever separated you from God's abundant goodness, and everything that has ever hindered you to walking wholly in his presence. Oh, sister, we do sing, I want to be a place of prayer. But I have to confess with you, some days it doesn't seem like we're talking very well. Some days it seems like a little static. I know that it's not true. I know that when the heavens seem like brass and my prayers aren't getting there, it doesn't matter because he's closer than the heavens. But it seems like I speak and sometimes he doesn't hear. Brothers and sisters, it's His will that that relationship gap get closed more and more and more in our lives, so that when we speak, we not only know He hears because the Word says so, but we are able to hear His voice in response to His call in Revelation 2 and 3. Those that have ears, let them hear. We've been dismembered, as Paul says here, without Christ, alienated from the people of God. Alienated from the people of God. Perhaps you've seen a hungry child look in the window of a nice restaurant, or look into the candy store, or observe a family that's having a vacation at the park, or getting into a boat and going fishing, and the child has that wistful look in their eye. I wish I could be a part of that. Brothers and sisters, there are things in our life which still, if we're not careful, can alienate us from God's purposes and can drive a wedge between us and each other. Now, in our culture, the polite thing to say is just get over it and let it go. Jesus, on the other hand, calls us to, Matthew 18, calls us to go to that person. Say, if there's anything that's between us, can we get it fixed? You see, the world's dependent on a church being whole and holy. I said, the world is dependent on a church being whole and holy. We seek holiness not so we feel better than we do, so that we can be available to witness the cause of Jesus Christ to them. That's why we want to walk in holiness. So we have to heal those fissures, those cracks, those divisions that happen between us because the world demands it. Paul says we were strangers from the promises. I'm so thankful that we can be baptized in His name. So thankful we can receive the Spirit, evidence speaking of tongues, and continued evidence of maturity in the Spirit. But there are some promises, I'm convinced, that this Easter season we are not fully harvesting a prayer life that's rooted in Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done in the dimension He wants us to be. But this Easter, the cross will focus its diagnostic lens on us and show us where we've been more focused on our stuff instead of His stuff, instead of His kingdom coming and His will being done. Paul speaks about hopelessness. We live in a world that is hopeless. Saw one of those memes the other day. It had said, 1 week the kids are chewing on Tide Pods, and the next week they're wanting to change the law, the Constitution. You know, they want to, on 1 week, eat detergent. On the next week, tell us how to run the government. If we just give it to them, they would fix it all in 30 minutes or less. Now, I realize there's a crisis of violence in our land. I just wish the Hollywood types that are given $500,000 to a parade, I wish they'd quit being in movies that had guns. They're against violence against women, and rightly so, with the Me Too movement that began last year. I wish they would quit acting in movies that degraded women. Put your money where your mouth is. But because of the sin in the world, our world is hopeless. There is really no way that a group of 17-year-olds or 27-year-olds or 107-year-olds simply marching and saying it's unfair and there's too much violence in the world, it's not going to fix America's love of violence. There is only one solution, and that is the one who took all violence on Himself. It's unfair, I know it, but Jesus said, treat me the way you want to treat everybody else. And when I am mistreated, I can bring together all those people which are divided. I'm not asking for a show of hands right now, but I wonder how many would confess that in this year already, 2018, you've had a week or two of hopelessness. Easter is for this reason. So the cross can focus its light on you, and it may seem unkind, but for a few moments, I want to grab the scab on that hopelessness and just tear it off. For a moment, I want to expose places where perhaps we don't have the joy of the Lord. It's not our strength. It's not unspeakable. And it's not the things that He's promised us to be. If we don't have that joy, if we don't have that hope, then would you let the cross of Christ, shine a light on you this Easter and expose it? For until we can say, oh, Lord, I am without hope. I need the cross one more time in my life. He can't heal us until we acknowledge we need the cross one more time. We celebrate that He's healed before, but this Easter we're going to celebrate it again. Hopelessness gets turned upside down, gives us hope eternal. We realize that we are compassed about with such a great crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 11 and 12, those who walked by faith and not by sight, searching for cities whose foundations were not laid by man's hands, and they counted it as hope. In other words, they saw what God was going to do and started reacting to it now. You know, some people say, I don't want to be reactive. It depends on what you're reacting to. That's right. All right. I don't want to be reactive when someone cuts me off in the traffic. Blood pressure just blowing off, steam coming out in my ears and every other orifice in my body. I don't want to be that kind of reactive. But here's the reactive I want to be. I want to see what the cross is going to accomplish in the end. I don't want to react to that. I want to walk forward in that. I can face today. I can face challenges in my world. I can face challenges in my health. I can face crises in my finances. I can even face those horrific challenges which come to our families from time to time. But we do not lose hope, because our hope is not in this world. Our hope is on something eternal. It's on a way made possible by the power of the cross. So if you're here tonight and you've had seasons of hopelessness in 2018, I'm focusing the cross on that hopelessness. Separations which are inside of us, dismembering inside of us. With a part of us we want to live godly and a part of us we don't. Jesus put it this way in Matthew. He says you can't serve two masters. But yet there are times when we find ourselves falling into old thought patterns and old action patterns. We worship Him so powerfully as we do here tonight, but then we see the advertisements of the world. We see what the psalmist would say, seemingly the advancement of the wicked, and our feet almost slip. In other words, we have a separation in our own mind, in our own spirit. The cross will shine a light on us this Easter if we'll let it do so, letting us being restored even inside of ourselves. So that we want only the cross of Jesus Christ, walking faithfully in it. We live in a world, we never thought it would be the case, perhaps, but we live in a world where there's gender dismemberment. There are people who don't feel comfortable with their biological gender, instead want to claim other things. I'm not speaking this to make fun tonight. I'm speaking that in a world like this, where it's been so confusing for about 4 or 5 decades now, trying to get men to act like women and women to act like men, we can't feel comfortable in the skin that we have. The cross wants to shine a light on that. Not make you feel horrible, but to shine a light on it so that the cross can purify that division, even inside of our own bodies, if you will, and help us to find strength in who we are. How about our lust to stay young? How about our despising growing old? We feel separation in us. Sherry and I celebrated our 38th anniversary in February. And we looked at each other and said, we don't even think we're 38. How could we have been married for 38 years? There are things, I was talking to Pastor today, take those car rides today that are 8 or 10 hours long. Well, it gets a whole lot longer because there's a whole lot more pit stops along the way. Well, I think I need to check those tires one more time just to make sure they didn't shrink in the last 2 hours. get out, stretch the leg, top. Let's just top off the tank while we're here, you know, fill it up. And yes, six more trips to the bathroom because of my advanced age. We look at our hands, we look at our finances, we look at things which haven't turned out the way we thought they would, and it drives us to despair and wanting something else. That sin in the garden, and sin in the garden of wanting to choose what's good for me instead of letting God choose what's good for me, continues to haunt us. It's in our fallen nature that we want that which we want rather than what God wants for us. The cross focuses a light on that. I want the remainder of 2018. I want to be thankful that I am a man. I want to be thankful that I'm this age. I want to be thankful that I have these abilities as well as other abilities that I don't have. I want to say with the psalmist from Psalm 16, my lines are drawn to me in pleasant places. And every time you and I get dissatisfied with where we are, we want the cross to point a light on that, so he can heal us. But you see, he won't heal us till we confess we need a healing. And I know most of the folks in this room tonight have already been filled with the Spirit, already been baptized in his name. But this is the power, this is the beauty of the cross. It doesn't stop when you're a new convert. It doesn't stop after a year of discipleship course. This is something that continually restored in him. Restored, 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 restored. This opportunity to change, of change that comes because of Easter. Our whole life sometimes needs a makeover. Our whole life needs a makeover. Well, it's topical for me to visit homes the last few months. I've visited far more empty houses than I ever want to have to face again. And it's amazing how things have to be updated. Updated. That the color on the walls, that's just dated. That is so June 2017. I need it updated. Now one season the carpet, the wood's bad, so we got to cover it with carpet. And then the carpet's bad, so we want the wood to come back. We want white cabinets in the kitchen. No, that's so dated. We need black cabinets. No, that's so dated. We need wooden cabinets. Oh, there's too much wood in this place. Get rid of that. In other words, whatever's here, somebody else put it here. I don't want it. I want something new that some expert says is the newest thing. I want a farm sink, and I want barn doors inside my house. All the while, we've been trying not to live in barns, and now we're bringing barn doors on our closets. We're bringing farm sinks into our kitchen for a year. Then it's dated. Got to throw it out. Got to have demo day. Got to put something new in its place. You see, as human beings, we're always looking for a place where we're not. We get dissatisfied and we wonder if our life has made a difference. You know, when the enemy speaks to us, the enemy will speak to some of us even here tonight and say, if you were to die, no one would notice. Your life hasn't had an impact. Your life hasn't made any difference. I reject that right now by the power of an almighty God and the blood of Calvary. If you're his son and his daughter, and if you have a spiritual life of prayer, even if it's not to where you want it to be, but you've begun to grow in prayer, your life is valuable. Your life is important to the kingdom of an almighty God. God is using you to shake the foundations of this world so that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Well, Brother Littles, if I was like you and I got to travel everywhere like you, then I would know my life had meaning. On my flight home on Monday, you know what the enemy's going to say in my head? Well, that was a waste of time. Preaching here, being Fond du Lac Thursday, Friday, Saturday, couple of times on Sunday, get to have communion with the home church as well as their church plant. But do you know what the enemy's going to say? That didn't do any good. How do I know that? Because I've been down that road enough times. But this Easter, oh, the cross is focusing its laser beam on something in my spirit. It's wanting to burn away. I wanted to burn away my satisfaction for determining if my life has had value. And in its place, look to that blood of Calvary one more time. If he says you're valuable enough for that, then brother or sister, what does the devil have to say about it? What does a parent who hated you have to say about it? What does a colleague that thinks you're worthless? They don't have anything to say about it. He has said from the blood of the cross, you are valuable to me. I give my life's blood for you, and I have a purpose for your life. He's going to heal that wound in us. And I'm asking you, between now and Sunday morning, would you let the light of the cross blaze into your spirit? Find places of thinking which is not in line with his word. Find thinking which is destructive to your spirit. Find thinking that pulls it away and say, dear Jesus, on this Good Friday, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want you to make me, make us whole again, restore all the broken pieces. We can be in Christ, brought near by the blood of Christ. It's there, brought near by the blood of Christ, that the power that is needed to close all of those gaps, all of those wounds, all of those separations, there's enough power in the cross, even here tonight, to stitch together some of those wounds that you have in your mind and you have in your emotions and that you have in your relationship. There's enough power in the cross to close those wounds right now. I think I need to pause for a moment and pray for someone that's having a struggle facing those wounds. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, give us the courage to acknowledge where our mind, our emotions, our relationship, our spirits feel broken. Right now, oh Lord, we receive your loving gaze from the cross. Right now, oh Lord, we willingly open our heart to you. Places of despair and sorrow, spiritual pain right now. Would you reveal that to us, Lord, and bring it to the surface so that the blood of Calvary can do its healing work this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Give us the courage to face it. Give us the courage to face it. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. With the cross, Jesus became our peace so we could have peace. We can have peace with God. Aren't you thankful that you have a right to be in God's presence tonight? Not here because you paid enough tithes last week. There was nobody checking the door. Nope, you can't come in. The presence of God's going to be strong in here tonight. And you didn't pay enough tithes last year, so break out the checkbook, and if you write a couple of digits down, we'll let you come in. No, you can't earn places. We pay tithes out of joyful stewardship, not to gain status with him. One of the most tragic things I've seen in life is looking at a cathedral in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. This cathedral had, I don't know how many, over 100 stairs, granite stairs leading up. And the middle path was reserved for people seeking healing. And the middle path, folks would walk on their knees up those hundreds of steps, proving to God that they were in desperate need. Oh, you don't have to prove to God you're in need. He already knows you're in need. All you got to do is say, Lord, let your grace shine on me. Bring healing and restoration to me. Brothers and sisters, you belong here tonight. You belong by the blood of Calvary, not by works that we have done, lest we should boast. We have a right to be in his house. We have a right to have anger destroyed. We have a right to have war destroyed in our members. We have a right for every division in our mind and our emotions, our relationship, to all be closed. We have the right because of the cross.
In his blood, he tore down the walls. He tore down everything that separates. He separated separation of race and class and gender, separation of families that have had a dispute a couple decades ago. All those separations are tore Christ apart, and now he restores us so that we can be a oneness people who serve a oneness God. Because of the blood of Calvary, we're free to be that kind of people, one spirit, no more strangers, united with the Father. Paul puts it this way, we're a new temple, we're fellow citizens, and we're members of the household of God. When we look at these categories, a temple, fellow citizens, and members of his household, as a temple, as it's been sung and talked about tonight, we are the abiding presence, the place of the abiding presence of an almighty God. The abiding presence of an almighty God. I don't think I can wrap my mind around the wonder of Easter to realize that when he died, that veil was ripped from top to bottom so his spirit could go out into the whole world. Your being filled with the Spirit is the presence of an almighty God. The presence that created heavens and earth abides in you and abides in me and abides in us as one temple of an almighty God. What a power of the cross tonight that has made us that kind of temple, a kind of temple that it's in a right covenant relationship with God. Moses came down from the mountain with those two tables of stone. Most pictures we see it as five commandments on one side and five commandments on another side. But from study, I kind of think that it was all 10 commandments on one stone and all 10 commandments on the other stone. But you see, when you would make a deal with someone, a covenant with someone, just like when we make contracts, we signed on for a contract for a house today. Tomorrow, the sellers are going to sign the contract. We get a copy of it, and the seller gets a copy of it. And those copies could be thousands of miles apart over the years. But when God says, here's both copies of my agreement to be with you, and why don't you take both copies and put them in the exact same box? Because I have no plans of leaving this place. I'm going to be with you from now and forever. I'm going to take you through the desert. I'm going to take you through the battle. I'm going to take you through the Jordan River. I'm going to take you around walls of Jericho until they fall. I'm going to take you through to the places where my promises are fulfilled in you. God has placed us in covenant with him. Anything in my life that is separated from that covenant, the cross brings that back together. Cleansing and repentance happens in the temple or the tabernacle. Oh, the beauty tonight to know that our hands are clean. I will ask for a show of hands on this one. How many of you have a little bottle of hand sanitizer on your person, close to you, in your pocket, in your briefcase, in your purse, dangling from your keys? You know, there's a few honest folk. We live in a world where folks need to kill those 99.9999999% of germs. We've all become Howard Hughes. He was afraid of germs. He lived in a hotel room and he wouldn't let anybody in because he was afraid germs would get it. Some folks got it out right there. They had touched something since they used it last. It's all right. However, do we realize that in our lives are things which keep us from God's perfect plan and will, but the cross cleanses us from all unrighteousness? That hand sanitizer, most of it's made in St. Louis, where I used to live. It's a big business. People wanting to be clean and pure all the time because they touch a doorknob and they touch, ew, all this stuff. When I hear how many people use the cell phone when in their bathroom, I'm never going to touch somebody's cell phone again. I need to use your phone. Can you hold that for me? I don't know where that cell phone's been. We go through doorknobs, scrub our hands down. We touch a computer terminal at work, we scrub our hands down. One of the most filthy places in the world, they say, computer terminals at work, we scrub our hands down. If we're willing to do that in the natural world, brothers and sisters, how much more so should we be thankful for the blood of Calvary, which cleanses us? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful tonight that a thought that I had this week, which is one unholy, I can ask right now in the name of Jesus, and His blood cleanses me from that unrighteousness and calls me to have better thoughts in Him and calls me to orient my life towards Him, cleanses us and provides a place of repentance. Temples are places of worship, as we've experienced here tonight in such a powerful way. It's a place of worship. This is a place where that worship is fulfilled, not just here, but in our homes, when we drive down the street, in our workplaces. And of course, being the temple is the place where the message can be seen for the whole world. The scripture that we read in Matthew, or that y'all talked about earlier in Matthew, "My house will be a house of prayer." Quoting from Isaiah, the rest of Isaiah's verse is, "of all nations, of all people." You see, the temple was designed to bring the whole world close. Brothers and sisters, we need to be near the cross this year because our neighbor needs us to be near the cross. We have unsaved loved ones that need us to be nearer to the cross. We have people that we shop with at Walmart. We don't even know their name, but we might see similar people or see similar cashier folk at the grocery store or where we purchase our gasoline. They need us to be closer to the cross the rest of this year than we've ever been before, so that they can see the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart, going from us through to them. Reading Ephesians 10, 2 verse 10 again, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Pastor read earlier from Hebrews chapter number 10 that we're to provoke one another. That provocation isn't siblings waiting till mama's turn and pinch each other, hoping that they slug you just as mom's turning around, so that they can get in trouble. The person that's getting the retaliatory hit is usually the one that gets blamed. No, we're provoking one another to good works because we have received that love from the cross. Faith wells up in us so we can be His workmanship, doing those good works in His name. Let's stand together, shall we? Good Friday and Easter, we think about our sins being washed away. That's all good. That's all important. But tonight I think it's important for us to realize He's wanting to heal all the wounds. All the wounds. Even if your name's already in the Lamb's Book of Life, why don't you let the cross this Easter put a laser beam on you? Identify areas where you're feeling hopelessness or despair, feeling separated from a loved one, feeling separated from your emotions, feeling separated from your age, or feeling separated from your work life. God doesn't want you to be despairing at work. Amen. That's not His pleasure for you. He wants work to be productive, and He wants work to be a place where our light can shine out so that others can be transformed. If you're feeling miserable at work, that's one of the healings that God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring joy to you, to the significant part of your life. He wants you to find satisfaction in work. Amen. It may be the job where you are now, or He may be positioning to take you to another job. I don't know. That's His work, not mine. But I do know He wants you to find satisfaction in your work, because in work we are in His image. We're fulfilling His purposes and His design. But He wants us to be restored in our workplace so that we feel joy in those areas of our life. Restoring, healing the wounds. Lord Jesus, we are here this night. We are thankful that You have washed us, regenerated us by the power of Your blood, and You've healed us and put our name in Your Lamb's Book of Life. Well, Lord Jesus, this evening we desire to present ourselves to You. Lord, let Your laser light from the cross shine on me. Lord, my name is Jim, and I am a worshiper. But there are times I could worship more faithfully, but I allow despair I allow short-term understanding of harvesting. I allow short-term understanding of sowing the seed and letting the tree grow until there can be a harvest. I let short-term understanding take away from my worship, take away from my joy, take away from my prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I pray, Lord Jesus, this Easter, let the cross laser beam in on that place where my joy is gone, where I've let dissatisfaction take a toehold, where I've let envy have a root, where I've let bitterness establish a stain, a cancer, a rust spot. Right now, Lord Jesus, identify areas in our life that needs changed by the cross, and then let your blood